All right, and I like what you're wearing.
I feel fat.
No, no, you're stout. The camera loves stoutness. Look, the key word is tasteful. Now, I want you to relax and have fun, because you're a fun guy. Feel the beat! Well, you know, you got some real strong pecs, but it's hard to tell under that T-shirt.
You want me to take it off?
Well, I don't know. It's up to you.
Do you think it would be better if I did?
It might be. I mean, whatever you...
Come on! Yeah!
Come on.
Give it to me. Come on, work it. Man. Oh, yeah, own it, own it. Yeah, beer man, beer.
Oh, God.
This photo clearly indicates your involvement in some ill-conceived mail-order pornography ring, as does this one, found in the same disturbing packet.
Oh, my God!
We have a few questions we'd like you to answer.
I have a few questions of my own.
Yes, this is a tribute episode to our favorite host or former host of CNN. Some people call him Poultry. Other people just call him Stouter. It doesn't matter what your preference is. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio today, our guest, the one, the only host of Reliable Sources, Brian Stouter. Welcome to the show.
It's so good to be here. It's, you know, I just, people say that I'm gay, but eggs don't even have butts.
Wow, Brian, always coming in with the reliable sources. I actually did a ode to you. I found my one black friend, Eric July, and I asked him for one of these things. I was like, you guys wear those socks on your head? He's like, you mean a do-rag? I was like, yeah, I don't know what the hell it's called. Let me do it. And I'm doing the rag, and I'm here, and I'm trying to respect you. And also, somebody almost as good looking as you, Kaylee Campbell, who's here, who's the government's biggest fear and biggest regret. Welcome to Slightly Offensive for the first time.
Thank you for having me.
You like the confetti of color?
I do. I like it.
I mean, you're a Turning Point ambassador, right?
Yeah.
Of many things. What do you do?
I mean, I have my show. I provoke people on the internet. It's called What's Your Point?
Oh, I did know that, actually. It's right here. Yeah, but people can find it on YouTube,
yeah.
Whatever.
YouTube, that's awesome. Twitch, Getter, everywhere, Rumble, all of it.
Amazing. On that note, oh, you didn't do your party popper.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. It's the 4D graphics. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. We do always have confetti of color. It is the COC. It never gets old because it's real. And we also have now 4D graphics. Remember, it actually does rain down on you. Doesn't it feel good? It's kind of a nice addition.
It's like a nice breeze.
I know. And it's like this, and I have this for later on the show because you never know.
Uh-oh.
You got to always blow the COC, and that's how you actually get away with that in public.
Yeah,
Brian Stilter's out, Kayla. Brian Stilter's gone. He left. The whole episode isn't about this, but you were crying earlier.
I was crying earlier.
Yeah, you were crying because we were like, what are we going to do now?
Right. It's very upsetting. Like, I've got the tissue.
Yeah.
Got to keep them handy.
And it's funny too. She's like, I have shiny spots. No, you were really wiping away tears. That shine wasn't oil. That was tears on your face. Because reliable sources, like, I mean, think about this. Now all we have is Wikipedia. We don't have Brian Stelter. So we're not going to have anything in any way to get our propaganda every single day. Chris Cuomo. Wait, was his brother Chris Cuomo? I think so. I think Andrew Cuomo was the governor. Chris Cuomo was his brother. Yeah. Chris Cuomo's out. Is the black gay guy out? Not yet. He'll be out soon. But the network actually said that they wanted to get away from bias and they wanted to get away from people who were polarizing and destroying the country. Mm-hmm. It's strange after the president made those remarks. Brian Stelter was soon out of a job for no relation at all to that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very interesting. I mean, I don't know where I'm going to get my media from.
Why don't you ask him? He's here.
Oh, I'm sorry. What are you going to do now?
Yeah, that's a good one. I was just cracking some jokes over there. It's an excellent point. Oh, you're on the wrong person. Excellent point there, Kaylee. We're going to be gentle. That's actually one of Glenn Beck's eggs. And it's they're flown in from a bisexual chicken in Finland. Oh, there.
Oh, I hate that guy so much. He blocked me. Did he block you too? He blocked me because I for a while under his post, every time I was telling you earlier that he would write anything, I just responded with an egg, mm-hmm. like an actual picture. And so that's just what we're doing today too. Josiah knows this. You're not allowed to call people groomers on Twitter anymore. So you have to respond with pictures of people cutting dogs' hair, people with pictures cutting cats' nails. That's you clever. Have to actually post the groomers so that you can't get taken out of context. And we have a huge show for you. We're talking about a lot of this and more coming up. But first, guys, don't forget, don't let your computer be like Brian Stelter. Make sure that it's actually protected and it has a security on it. That's why you got to have a VPN, ExpressVPN, exactly. So profiling, surveillance, data harvesting, horrible things. Everyone's after your identity and they want to take your information, use it against you. There's lots of things that these tech giants do to destroy you. And they actually don't even like you. So it's sad they profit off you. Remember, you are the product. You are not the user. You're the product. But you can actually do something about it when you actually use a VPN. So we don't have $44 billion like Musk to go buy Twitter. But what we can do is we can not be billionaires or millionaires. We can take a stand. And for less than $7 a month, we can join together and fight back against big tech by using ExpressVPN. Now, how do you think big tech companies like Twitter make all their money anyway? Well, it's by tracking your searches, video history, and everything that you click on, and then selling your personal data. ExpressVPN helps you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, a unique identifier that every device has that allows big tech to match your activity back to you. That's why I use ExpressVPN on all of my devices, and it makes it so much more difficult for them to exploit my data, literally giving me anonymity. You can also use the ExpressVPN app. I just tap one button on my phone or computer, turn it on, and that's all it takes to keep people out of my business. If you don't like big tech tracking you and selling your personal data for profit, it's time to fight back. Visit expressvpn.com, ExpressVPN.com. That's expressvpn.com/offensive right now to get 3 months free of a year. Anyway, go to expressvpn.com/offensive, ExpressVPN.com/offensive. Check it out today. Oh, Kayla, it is raining here in Texas today. It is a nice stormy day. It's the first time it hasn't been about 137 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, we've been wagering this. The temperature here is almost as high as Nancy Pelosi's age. We are getting up. They're right at 160 soon. But we're having a good time together. We are having a wonderful show. Most importantly, towards the end of the show, we have Emma Jo, who is from the political editor at Breitbart, who's going to be telling us the most hilarious interview. You're not going to want to miss it, of her experience interviewing Biden immigrants that were bused from Texas into New York. And trust me, something will pop out at the end and it'll be worth it. But I really do feel like we're in a position in our life right now where things have become so deranged. They've become so dilapidated that it's like we get calloused in our lives because we almost don't care anymore about the violence. We don't care anymore about the inflation. We don't care about the problems because you go onto Twitter, you go onto Instagram, you check around the internet, and it's like we see people getting killed, run over. We see people, you know, rioting. It's like we've become desensitized to the reality of how horrible this country has actually become. We've fallen into the bottom of the list in terms of with education in the world. We're number 25. We're not even high up in the list of capitalist free societies. We don't have free speech because of big tech and high regulations. And quite frankly, most places have stricter gun laws than even a lot of cities in America have stricter gun laws than cities in Australia. Meaning it's not like we are in some free great country. We're on such a demise. I think that we only have a few months left and we've only hit 50% of our recruiting goals for our military because nobody wants to defend the country because they don't like what the country is. And it's like, how are you staying positive? How are you staying up in all of this and keeping a smile on your face?
I like to look at it as, you know, I see all of these people acting out, you know, going to protests, things like that, watching their videos on TikTok. And basically, I mean, it keeps us from having to go do other jobs. Like the reason they act so insane and all of that, it's so entertaining to just make content out of. So I stay positive based on how stupid the left is being. And it makes everything 10 times more entertaining. But like taking it serious for a second, you know, we still want to fight for everything that's going on because I'm going to be and you are going to be the generations that are growing up and having to deal with everything in the future. And so it's important to, you know, stay strong and hope for the best. But it's kind of hard to take things seriously nowadays. And I think that's kind of what makes it easier.
Yeah. Well, so here's one thing I want to say. Here's where we're backwards. Women have gotten so ugly these days. I don't know if you've noticed this. They're kind of fat.
Yes.
And they have they're fatter than they should be. And they don't take care of themselves. And this is what I'm not saying that they're genetically born uglier today, although there's some questionability. And I am the king of sex attraction. I mean, look at this. I'm Brian Steltis, doppelganger. Brian's over there. How are you doing, Brian? I'm literally turned. That's the first time an egg has turned me on. I'm doing good. He likes big black things in his face, cylindrical black things. It's not the first time, huh? Is it, Brian? Oh, Brian, what are you doing with your mic? It's disgusting. It's childish. It's gross. But you know what? It's true. It's disgusting. No, but what's interesting is we were finding out recently that the country has gone whack, and that the more that the media is trying to tell people, essentially, what is truth, right? That left is right, that right is wrong, that black is blue, and they try to tell you the opposite is true. There's nobody more honest than black folk. Do you ever notice that? Like, black folk don't buy into the bullshit. Like, right? They're just like, they kill each other and they have other problems, which I don't want. But when it comes to buying into all this gender and gay stuff, I don't think they buy it.
Yeah, no, I don't think they believe it at all. They're very straight up with the things that they say. And I think that sometimes gets them a free pass to say whatever they want most of the time.
Yeah, well, just Josiah, our production assistant here, he sent me this page of this woman who makes artwork. Absolutely. They're always gross. Uh-oh. That's the problem. They always make women ugly and gross. And they have all of these weird. Oh, I have to sign in. I don't know. Can you open it up there? All right. All right.
Ew.
There's all this artwork about women and their beauty standards saying there's no such thing as a beach body. All bodies can wear a bikini and look amazing. And what I don't understand about left-wing art is that it's like, why, like, first of all, what is Brian Seltzer's body doing in the lower right-hand corner? Is that a colostomy bag in the, like, why do you have to have, like, poop feces on your gut?
Ew.
Like, I don't even understand. And there's the pubic hair, and I don't know if those are cut marks, but it's like, why do they always have to try to say, like, there are some bodies that should be put away. There's a reason, you know what I'm saying? There are some bodies that are not bikini ready, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and it's disgusting. The way that they try to flaunt their bodies over the internet, and they make it cute and trendy, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm 300 pounds, but, like, I'm still beautiful. No. If they send 300-pound Victoria's Secret models down the runway, is that going to make anybody want to buy a bikini or anything?
That's why their profits are going down. Have you seen? Oh, they're always fat black chicks in the front windows, and it's like, man, I had a different childhood. I guess because kids are just looking at, like, gangbang porn now and stuff. They're not really, like, into that. But I remember, you know, when you're like, well, you wouldn't know. Maybe you do. Who knows? It's 2022. But when you would, Josiah knows, right? When you would walk past the Victoria's Secret, you try to make sure your mom didn't know that you were looking. You were like, yeah, the little side, like, you just wanted to, like, look in. And you're like, the first time that you ever got taken in that store, it's like, you just look up and you're like, I'm in heaven.
Oh my gosh.
And no, it was true. It was like softcore porn for, like, when you're like 10 years old and you're like, please mom, just take me with you. And then I happen to get lost in the store. Josiah was like, you know, I don't think people really believe this. I don't think people are buying any of this stuff. I'm gonna go talk to my brothers down in Deep Ellum, and I want to find out what some of the homeboys, you know, Josiah's a little bit of a wigger. You know that? He's a little bit.
Oh yeah.
A little bit of a G daddy.
He's been through it.
Yeah. He wanted to go talk to his fellow gang members. And see what they had to say about women's bodies. And let's watch a couple of these interviews.
Cam, I'm Josiah. This is about social constructs. So right here, there's this picture. Has a whole bunch of bodies. It says there's no such thing as a beach body.
Okay.
All bodies can wear a bikini and look amazing. Would you agree?
All bodies can look amazing.
Yeah.
But I feel like the social construct, get in the gym and live healthy.
You're not saying.
No. You gotta live healthy. You gotta work out. You gotta eat healthy.
You gotta look good.
Because you know what? A beach body show them. Hey, ain't nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong.
Any
little thick, little stomach, but too much is not good.
Okay. So it doesn't. Does it worry you at all that certain men don't find these attractive? Do you think that men should find bigger women, or women with stretch marks or with some sort of skin disease, they should have more sympathy?
The ones that don't find that attractive, I'm pretty sure I don't find attractive.
No, I feel like to each his own. Everybody has their right to their own preference.
Yeah. Awesome. Appreciate you. Okay, but what about this, though?
Then she needs to shave.
She needs to shave.
She
needs
to shave that shit.
She didn't groom.
She needs to shave that shit.
Okay. Yeah.
The hair is not cool.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Some people who likes pubes? I mean, like, on outside of a bikini. I don't know what world we're living in. Of course, it's the fat black chick that's like, everybody can be beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Can we also give a huge salute to black men for taking the fat white chicks off the market for us? Thank you. They are a shield, and they have saved us from having to deal with them. What is up with black guys liking fat white chicks? Have you seen that? It's an epidemic.
Yeah. It's everywhere. I mean, there were the really fat, like, white emo chicks in my high school that would date like the really skinny black guys. And it's like, how are they in relationships?
The ones that wanted to kill themselves but couldn't because there was too much fat. They tried to slit their wrists. They couldn't get deep enough. It would dull the knife. I swear though, it is, but it's funny though, like with going out there in the world, when you actually talk to real people and you see what's going on, that's the crazy side of all of this, is that I feel like we're in a culture and an economy where we're so believing that the real world is what we're seeing daily online.
Right.
That we're not understanding that when you just go outside and you talk to people, like in your friend groups, you know, there are people that they say, well, I can't talk real in front of my friends. I get offended. He's like, go find new friends, buddy. It's better to be alone. Literally, there's a proverb that talks about it's even better to be alone with nothing than to be in a home with a nagging woman.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, it's like, what's the point to be around people, literally, but what's the point to be around people that tear you down, that don't let you be who you are, that try to give you crap for expressing your opinions, and you go out in the street and you talk to people and like, no, look, we're not buying this. There's no such thing as that. And they're always pushing things on us that we don't really want, that, mm-hmm. the ideas that we don't actually believe, but people think, well, I must be the only one outside of this. I must be the only person that actually thinks this way because I'm seeing on the internet, on social media, that everybody else agrees with the narrative. And so I'm the odd man out. When in reality, most of us are more awake. I think most people are more awake than they think, at least especially with beauty standards. Like, nobody thinks fat's beautiful. That's not real.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like going out on the street and talking to like real life people, like that's the stuff you don't see. The civil conversations that you're having with people, you barely see those because we're so exposed to all of like the screaming and the throwing the fit, all the liberals that are just like acting out and stuff like that, because people like to see that content. But there's a lot more people out there who are very like level-headed and will be like, you know what? Yeah, the beauty standard's gross. Like, you know,
I also don't understand this too. Like, and this is where as they're changing it, not only are they saying fat's beautiful, do you know the movement that we're switching to like pushing for products from bugs?
Oh my gosh, I have seen that. I will never eat a bug.
No, but they're sneaking them into our snacks. There's an increasing amount of chips that are made with like cricket flour. This is not a joke. This is this. So Reuters came out and said that scientists are experimenting with larva fat to replace butter. So what it is, they soak, for those that are blind viewers, if you're an audio only viewer, make sure that you download this on Spotify, iTunes, and leave the reviews, but you can't see this. They soak the insects in water and then mush them with a blender before centrifuges separate a butter-like substance, which the team then uses to bake with. No.
Absolutely not.
No, I'm not going to do that.
This is why
I
only eat meat.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. Only meat.
Yeah.
Like everything else. We don't even need anything else. I feel like we don't even really need anything else in protein.
There's meat, chicken, steak. Make that your diet every week. You'll be good. But like all of the other foods that they're having. I mean, notice once you start eating super, super healthy, you go and you have like your cheat day and whatnot. You feel like absolute crap after you have your cheat meal. And it's just like your body gets so used to consuming all of like the healthy organic foods that it starts to reject all of this other stuff, all of the GMO stuff that they're putting in our foods and all of the chemicals and all of that. Like that'll mess with you.
But I love how their solution to this is they don't want to see what makes us healthy, but they want us to eat bugs. I think we talked about this, that they were going to be pushing this more and more. This is going to become normalized. A few weeks ago, we talked about this. I don't know if we have this here. Yeah. We did talk to you about this and we warned you, and then now they're actually, this is a real thing they're trying to push, is bug butter, which is absolutely disgusting. Let's watch this.
Have this sort of authoritarian, like forced way of telling you, not just like a way of government, but it's like, we're going to tell you what you're going to eat and we're going to tell you how you're going to feel about it. So not only are you guys going to be eating bugs, you're going to enjoy it. And not only are going to tell you how you're going to feel, but we're going to tell you how you're going to think about it in the past. You're going to think it was better. Like
the transition
they're
was great.
They're controlling and thinking they can. Americans are an unruly people. We're not doing that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're not eating bugs. This is the cheddar cheese puffs. I don't know if you saw this. Cheddar cheese puffs are featuring cricket flour. So it's sustainable and it's got cricket flour in it. Does anybody know what the cricket flour is? I don't know where the flowers are on the cricket.
I have to assume... they just crush them up. They dry them out and dehydrate them, put them in a dehydrator and then crush it up.
What happened to just grain flour?
I know. Well, I mean, that's the thing nowadays is all the stuff that they're spraying on like the wheat. Some people say gluten allergies don't actually exist because it's actually just like the chemicals that they're putting.
I don't think it's real. I actually think a lot of our kids, I believe in the theory of absence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
No.
So I believe that time stamp this. You can bleep this word, Josiah. But I think that are what cause almost all autoimmune diseases.
Ooh, yeah.
I genuinely believe that. You can figure out what I just said right there. But I believe that sterilizing children so young and sort of taking away the basically it does increase perhaps maybe the birth rate or the survivability of infant mortality. So maybe it's a net positive, these things, but I am convinced pretty much in my head that we are too hygienic. And so with the making your kids shower all the time and wash their hands and keeping them from playing and these things that we start, our immune system starts attacking itself, which is why we see a high prevalence of autoimmune diseases in countries with a high vaccination rate versus poor countries or developing countries. We don't see the same amount. People could blame that on not being diagnosed, but you don't have, it's just like the black people not really dying a lot from COVID. They also don't have a lot of asthma problems in Africa. It's just the truth. So it's weird too that Bill Gates, who admitted to helping fund the Inflation Reduction Act or at least lobbying Manchin to get it passed, is also the biggest pusher of vaccines in the whole world. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's entire motto is to vaccinate people.
Yeah.
I mean, and they started with polio and they said, we got rid of polio and now polio's back.
Yep.
Which I think might be from viral shredding from the vaccines.
Yeah. I mean, anything can mutate, honestly, at this point. And it's kind of scary because, you know, if they can make all this stuff, what else are they going to make in the future? What else are they going to try to expose us to? What else do we need to look out for? And what else are they going to make for so they can create another problem that they can save us from later on?
And if you're watching this on YouTube, it's probably a very confusing conversation. It's probably a few bleeps. Basically, you know what they're doing. But it is funny because, you know, what they have the newest vaccine for is the monkeypox.
Yeah.
The poor greyhound whose anus, it was so sad.
I haven't seen the picture. If it was on Twitter, I can't see anything on Twitter because I'm banned.
Oh, you got banned?
Yeah. What'd I know you were talking about that earlier. So I was inciting violence with a bunch of protesters because I was going to go speak at a college campus. And they claimed that I was inciting violence, even though they were inciting the violence.
You're a very dangerous person.
Yeah. I mean, they should fear me.
So Twitter suspended you for inciting violence?
Yeah, they took down all of my accounts. I had like 4.
But I don't understand what you did.
I said, we're back, bitches, because I graduated from that college. So they thought that maybe I was like going to just show up and fight. I don't know. But they all started mass reporting and mass tweeting my account. And in like 2 seconds after I got in an argument with a blue-haired liberal, I was also taking their profile pictures and screenshotting them and then sending them their own pictures and being like, you look like this. Why are you talking to me?
I like doing that. I do it to a lot of people, actually. What's crazy is I can do it because obviously looking like this, I have a very big ego. I have a very good looking
guy. It's the new bald look.
It's a very good looking guy, Brian. How are you doing over there? Oh, don't. You don't want to see what he was doing with that microphone when that was disgusting. I will tell you that. No, but it's crazy because people were actually getting deleted. Who was it? I just know that got Lydia, the producer for Tim Pool, had gotten suspended on Twitter for a while for basically saying exactly what we just found. Guess what? Sex between men, not skin contact, is fueling the monkeypox. New research suggests. This is almost like when they said the vaccines, you may still be able to catch COVID when you get the vaccine. And we're like, oh, really? We knew that. Yeah. Since the outset of the global monkeypox outbreak in May, public health and infectious disease experts have told the public that the virus is largely transmitting through skin-to-skin contact, in particular during sex between men. Now, however, an expanding cadre of experts has come to believe that sex between men itself, both anal as well as oral intercourse, is likely the main driver of global monkeypox transmission. And I mean, are you shocked? It looks like gay sex is what's causing monkeypox. I thought we knew this. I thought that's what we knew.
We said that from the beginning. Oh, yeah. We were saying that since day one. And they were like, no, that's mean. Don't say that. It's spreading through skin-to-skin contact. And we're like, same thing.
The dog's anus has it.
How do you think that happened?
Yeah. Fido's ears don't have it. It's not on his back.
Yeah.
It's on his sphincter. Maybe if you stop putting your pee-pee near your dog's poo-poo. It's true. I don't understand.
Where's the owner of the dog?
Should be in jail.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh. What was that?
Is that the owner?
That's the last thing you hear before you get monkeypox.
Hi.
No, but we have this new, we have this monkeypox vaccine video. It's out. Let's watch this video from NBC.
The White House monkeypox response team is announcing what it calls game-changing new plans to stretch out the country's monkeypox vaccine supply with guidance from the FDA. The agency plans to use a new method of injecting people using just one-fifth of the current dosage, a plan that would transform 400,000 existing vials into 2 million doses for Americans. This is a big move that could help alleviate the nationwide shortage of the shot. We've seen the long lines for vaccines in cities like New York and San Francisco. They're simply not
okay.
Enough
cut it out. Just stop going to gay orgies. Yeah. Stop putting your dick in other people's poop shoots.
Yeah.
And maybe before you give someone a blowjob, look if there's literal warts growing on their genitals before you stick that shit in your mouth. This is why these people get a bad rap. It's like you're that promiscuous. Promiscuity is one thing. How are this many people afraid of getting monkeypox? How many people are doing the orgy? Many, apparently. And you and I are supposed to be afraid too. Yeah. But I'm not, I literally canceled my next 3 orgies. I have things to do. I gotta go grocery shopping and stuff. And I'll have sex with 40 people the next week in a day, right. You know? Like, is that on your schedule? You wake up like, oh, I gotta go have sex with 13 people. I gotta go to dinner. Like, who's doing this?
I don't know. But I mean, it's kind of funny because now people are getting exposed for it. Like, you can kind of look out and be like, oh, that person has monkeypox. I know what they've been doing after hours, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that'd be so awkward. It's like, do you read that one story, that guy that was like, I had to come out to my parents because I had to tell them that I had monkeypox?
Oh.
Like, you could have just not told them too, because it's not the gay that you should be worried about. It's the fact that they know you're at orgies. Yeah. Like, it's like, it'd be one thing if my son was like, hey, dad, I'm gay. And I'd be like, that's a different conversation versus being like, hey, dad, I have monkeypox. And I'd be like, the hell? And I'd be like,
I would be speechless.
Sweetie, go check Gunter's butt. Go check the dog's
have
butt.
Have you seen like the videos of like what their faces look like when they have it on their face?
Yeah, from the copulation. It's disgusting. Yeah.
And it scars. So anybody who has monkeypox now, you have like the scars on your face for forever. So.
Dude, sin does come with consequences. It actually is true. I was talking to somebody about this recently. I was like, look, we all sin. I'm a very far from perfect person. I'm so far from perfect, meaning I'm more than perfect, so I'm better than everyone.
Me too.
But I mess up all the time, and I just think, you know, never in my messing up has there been a gay orgy. Like, I've done a lot of dumb shit in my life, but like nothing that has given me possible access to monkeypox, so I should be good.
Yeah.
But I will say that it's like, it is the reason why God warns us about a lot of things is not because he's not trying to help us have fun. It's because of the damage that it causes us. The reason why he doesn't want girls to be hoes ain't because he doesn't want you to have fun. It's because he knows that sex damages women differently than men. And there's a different, there's a different like place in it, and it affects the brain. And you know, when he says like, oh, don't get drunk with wine, it'll ruin your life. It's literally a Bible verse. It's not because he doesn't want us to party. It's because he knows that when we get drunk, we just do dumb stuff and then we can mess up our lives. And how many people have pretty much, I always tell people this, pretty much not, it's not that every time I've gotten drunk, I've done something dumb, but every dumb and retarded thing I've done has probably been when I'm drunk. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes sense. So like why God would tell us something, because he's trying to protect us and he doesn't want us having monkeypox scars on our face.
Exactly.
It's disgusting. Anyway,
protect you from monkeypox.
The vaccines, a Swedish study came out that was letting people know, by the way, that we haven't seen the full effects of the last vaccine, but we're pushing this one. We have this article, the Swedish study that says, but when the vaccination started, the effect stopped. Just 9 months after the vaccination started, childbearing also decreased. People thought that now the pandemic was over and that they could return to their normal lives. I also saw that death rates went up in Nordic countries and birth rates went down after we implemented the vaccine. No relation, though, to that. And a lot of sudden adult death syndrome as well.
Yep.
It is. I never heard of people dying. And you know, many people could have gotten away with murder because like,
oh, yeah,
everyone said, oh, like post DNA. Technology, it's so much harder to murder people. No, it's not. Just blame it on
COVID.
Blame it on COVID or SADS. Yeah. Sudden adult death syndrome. It's like, sir, her head is missing.
She just died.
Oh, one of our haters got monkeypox? Yeah, wow. Oh.
Ew.
Michael Rappaport is always, dude, he's always dogging on me. I invite him on the show. He's like, I don't want to talk to you. You're a Trumpian. He follows all my accounts, and then were you beefing with him? You called him Michelle? Just I was like, okay, Michelle. And then he like posted it and was like, these Trumpians are all the same. Michael Rappaport. Well, I did want to say this. Speaking of that, it's like, it is crazy though, how they're pushing this down. Cause we're going to talk to, Jamie, who's the director of Gays Against Groomers here in a second. And you're welcome to stay around for that. And you can stick on that interview with her if you want to ask her anything. Her accounts were deleted and her website from Wix was deplatformed. All on the same day, an organization is trying to fight grooming. And they're saying that grooming doesn't exist, and it's not real. But then what do you say this when Yale has a three-year-old gender program? Let's go ahead and let's play video number two.
I'm a clinical psychologist by training, and I am the director of the Yale Gender Program, which is an interdisciplinary program working with gender-expansive individuals, 3 to 25, and their families. We help individuals who are questioning their gender identity or who identify as transgender or non-binary. We help them with their gender journey, thinking through that, thinking through the risks and the benefits of medical intervention, starting medical intervention, and also building supports around them. And I love what I do, so it's really, really wonderful to be working in this field and to be working with individuals who are gender diverse and gaining their support and helping them on their gender journeys.
Yale, you're laughing. You're like, what?
Do you see like the glaze over in her eyes?
They always have that.
It's like the psycho, like, just, I don't know. But like, they've got to stop making this stuff up. I mean, they've made this,
It's creepy. Three-year-olds.
Yeah.
Three-year-olds. I once asked a woman.
They don't even understand.
Well, Josiah, I got to send you back out to do this. I asked people like weird things if they would accept me. And I remember I asked this girl just because she looked good in a bikini. And I was like, hey, would you believe I'm a bicycle? And she was like, I guess. Yeah, if you said you were one.
That happened to me the other day. I was doing that argument. I asked the lady if I could identify as a tree.
And she said, yeah?
Yeah, she was like, well, is it a living creature? And I was like, you tell me. And she's like, well, you're supposed to be the biologist or like something dumb like that. They argue about the whole biology thing again.
Yeah. I love when I tell them that I have an extensive background in biology and they're always like, oh, that doesn't count. Are you a doctor? I'm always like, yeah, I am actually.
We're all doctors. She sat there on the video. She goes, well, one person's opinion, because I asked her about Dr. Fauci because she was talking about how the science, trust the science, this, that. I said, okay, well, what about Dr. Fauci? And she was like, well, one person's opinion doesn't matter. And I was like, just backtrack on what you just said.
Yeah, well, that's the point. So I'm going to bring on Jamie here. I'm going to take this off, this thing. I feel bad for Jamie if she wants to share the interview and I'm wearing a Brian Stelter. Like I said, we have Jamie Michelle, the director of Gays Against Groomers, who's going to talk to us about she was deplatformed and also the attack against people who are trying to protect children. It's very alarming, and I'm really happy she was able to make it. Before we talk to her, guys, do not forget that Bank on Yourself is an amazing way to understand how to actually invest. Now, if you've ever been dreading looking at your 401k or your IRA account balance, you are not alone. And experts say that there is no place to hide, genuinely. It is simply not true, though. The truth is, they're lying. And you can build a financial bunker that grows and protects your money during even the scariest economic times. The Bank on Yourself retirement plan alternatives let you escape the financial carnage that has never had a losing year in over 160 years, literally. So whether you've been investing for years or just starting out, now is the time to bypass Wall Street and Bank on Yourself, literally. Like, who's more reliable than you? So check this out. Bank on Yourself lets you reach your financial goals and dreams without taking any unnecessary risks. You get guaranteed predictable growth and retirement income with no luck, skill, or guesswork needed. This is a strategy that also lets you take a tax-free retirement income, which protects you from the coming tax tsunami. There's no volatility. Your plan doesn't go backwards when the markets tumble. Both your principal and growth are protected, peace of mind. And perhaps the best reason of all, you'll know the minimum guaranteed value of all your plan on the day that you plan to tap into it and at every point along the way. You can get a free report with all the details of how adding Bank on Yourself to your financial plan can help you take back control of your money. Just go to bankonyourself.com/offensive. That's bankonyourself.com/offensive. That's bankonyourself.com/offensive. Check it out today. I'd like to welcome to Slightly Offensive, Jamie Michelle. We're so happy to have you here on Slightly Offensive.
Thanks for having me. So happy to be here with you.
Yeah, you mentioned, so you've taken a break from the gay who's straight. You're trying to show people that not all lesbians, this is our lesbian episode, actually. It's just, I don't know what that is. Can I be a lesbian today?
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Half of the time, at least.
Okay. I will today. No, but I was going to say, you know, you've been out there trying to show people that, you know, some people, just because you live a different way than some conservatives or right wingers might think, doesn't mean that you believe all the bullshit and the nonsense. So you, this thing came out with grooming. They're trying to normalize the sexualization of children, and you decided to fight against that. How's that going and what happened?
Yeah. So, you know, I, as well as everybody else out there, sees what's happening, the millions of videos coming out every day, just this targeted assault on children, sexualizing them, indoctrinating them with radical gender theory, and even butchering them with, you know, sex reassignment surgeries before they're 18. And it's giving us a really bad name as well. Like the acceptance of gay people in society has drastically declined over the past few years because all they see coming out of our community is this disgusting behavior. So I've had a pretty big following on social media for like 6 years now as the gay who strayed. And I just decided that I can't sit around anymore with my platform and not try and do something about it. So I launched Gays Against Groomers in June of this year. So not even 3 months ago. And it has skyrocketed. I mean, I expected maybe in 6 months or so, we'd have like 5,000 followers start to gain a little traction, but it was literally like overnight. We actually today, about 2 hours ago, just hit 100,000 followers on Instagram. And we're still chucking along on Twitter, even though we've now faced 3 suspensions in under 3 months. Surely just a mistake, you know, but that's what we're dealing with. But, you know, nothing's going to stop us from fighting. We're gaining speed and power, and the left is really scared of that. These radicals, these activists are very scared because they know how effective our voices are in this fight. You know, straight people, they fight as well against it. Parents, straight people everywhere, but they're easy for these woke activists to write off as homophobic, transphobic, bigots, hateful, whatever, you know, what have you. But they're going to have a harder time doing that with us, even though they've tried. Media Matters has called us an anti-LGBTQ hate group, even though everybody in our coalition is gay. So it's interesting, but that's where we're at.
Let me ask you this though. What, cause I don't even get it. Right. I mean, I look at this as gazeagainstgroomers.com. I'm just jumping on. I love you're called Gays Against Groomers now. But you go on there and you're going, okay, what the hell does this mean? Why do we need this organization? What are you guys trying to accomplish?
I mean, we're trying to draw a big line in the sand between us, who are the majority in our community that are disgusted by all of this, stand strongly against it, and are tired of being associated with these people. We're also first and foremost, I mean, we want to effectively end what's happening. I think we have the best chance of doing that from within our community. It's happening within our community, so it's kind of our problem to fight and tackle. And all of us together are going to be able to stop it. So, I mean, one of the things we're going to be pushing for is for each governor to follow in DeSantis's footsteps in banning these medical procedures. I mean, that I think is the most important part. The indoctrination is terrible. The sexualization as well. I mean, we need drag shows for kids to be stopped too. But butchering these children, permanently harming their bodies. I mean, there's Boston Children's Hospital just came out with videos saying that they're giving hysterectomies to healthy 17-year-old girls. UCLA Children's or some hospital in LA, they were bragging that they gave a double mastectomy to a 13-year-old girl. So these are crimes against humanity. I compare what's happening now to Joseph Mengele, what he did during the Holocaust, experimenting on children. We're going to look back at this time in horror that we allowed this to happen at all. And we're doing everything we can to stop it.
Yeah. And we saw a coordinated effort, right? You see the Media Matter hit piece, you get deplatformed off of Twitter. Then the Wix takes your website down for a phishing, complaint or whatever they were saying was going on. And this is the attack, like with James Lindsay getting suspended, they really are pushing for the next frontier, which is to make sure that kids are sexualized, and maybe greyhound dogs too, as we saw with that Lancet monkeypox study. It is sad though. It is sad at what they're doing and how anybody who's trying to fight against and protect children from predators is considered demonized now. Does that shock you?
No. I mean, we knew this was coming. Like, that's why the day I set up our account on Twitter and Instagram, I instantly made backups. We've dealt with censorship for a long time, just being conservatives on the internet. It's not easy, being demonetized and what have you. But I knew that this would happen because big tech openly supports the sexualization of children. They protect predators, child predators' feelings over our right to speak. I mean, we're an LGBT organization. We have some trans people even working with us, like Blair White and Buck Angel and this guy, Matt Ray. So we are an LGBT organization and they're preventing us from having a voice. And you know what? It's made us stronger. We've, our growth, we gained like 7,000 followers just yesterday after we came back from our ban. And you know, it's more of an admission on themselves, what they're doing. It seems like a very strange hill to die on, to come out against us, you know, supporting, uniting behind this cause and protecting children should be the most uniting thing that exists. But, you know, we're not surprised, but it's not going to stop us. And it's really sad to see. And, you know, they're trying to, what they've done now, what Reddit did and what Twitter has done is labeling the term groomer an anti-LGBTQ slur, as if all of us are offended by the word groomer because we're groomers. It's actually, we see it as the reverse effect. I mean, it's harming us more than anybody throwing around the word groomer to accurately describe what's happening. So, yeah, they're definitely an enemy of ours. They don't care about us, just like they don't care about any minority. They just use us as a shield to push their agenda. And that's what, you know, that's what's happening with right-wing Black people and all minorities that aren't, you know, that don't fall in line with the radical left ideology. That's what we see happen. So we knew it was coming. It's of course, disappointing, though.
Jamie, if you can go to my screen here real quickly, don't forget to follow Gays Against Broomers or Against Groomers. We'll put your page up on the screen. Do you guys have a website or anywhere else people can follow you or they can join? And we appreciate it too, by the way, because like you said, I mean, I hate the identity politics stuff. It's so stupid. But at the same time, it's like they're going to be able to write people off because of who they are, how they look, because they're racist, they're sexist. They're discriminatory. And so you need a lot of different types of voices in today's world to speak up and to start condemning things so that they don't have that ammunition. And I don't like that the world works that way right now. And we're fighting against it, but it's got to work together. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, thank you. Everybody can just go to gaysagainstgroomers.com, find everywhere you can find us, ways to support us and get involved. And you're right. You know, we have to play within their rules to kind of win and make some strides in our favor as well. So it sucks, but it's what has to be done. So we're doing it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And guys, if you're watching this right now, do not forget, if you go to UncleTom.com, I got a new movie coming out that's so helped co-produce it. The first one was about, you know, how Black people can really be right wing and the liberation of opening up your mind away from the Democrat Party and the plantation mindset. This new one is about, again, UncleTom.com. I don't know. Can you see my screen? Or maybe you can just go to it on your screen there, Josiah. UncleTom.com. It's a movie that's put a lot of money, a lot of time into. It's about how all this gender stuff and everything that's going on in our country was experimented initially in the Black community by taking their wealth, their identity, and by destroying them internally. And then now they're doing it to our whole country and they're pushing on the whole world. So it's like really explores how the government destroys communities and the identity of a people to really make sure that you're lost and that you are in chaos. And that's what they're doing with all this gender stuff. And if you put my name in, Elijah, I got you guys 30% off if you pre-order it. It comes out on the 26th. It's such a good movie. It's a red pill movie. It might make you cry because it's that well done. It's scored. It's just beautiful, high production budget. Some of the biggest names in the industry are in this movie, and it's so freaking good. Go to UncleTom.com, type in my name. I got you guys a deal. It's amazing. I helped co-produce it, and I'm really excited, and I want you to freaking see it. So please check it out. Anyway, we're going to go to our interview with Emma Jo Morris from Breitbart, who's going to be talking to us about her encounter with Biden's illegal immigrants. In the midst of the chaos in New York City, what's better than to add a little more fire to the flames? That is, of course, states like Arizona, states like Texas are beginning to bus immigrants, illegal immigrants, out of our cities and into these wonderful sanctuary cities that have been saying, we need more diversity. We want to take your helpless. We want to take your loss. But it turns out that it was more fact or fiction than fact, and that the overwhelming influx of illegal immigrants is actually hurting their cities. Who would have thought? I don't know. Maybe we've been saying that this entire freaking time. Well, of course, these cities are calling for the National Guard. They're calling for federal help. They don't know what to do. And in the midst of all of this, these illegal immigrants are just being put in hotels. They're being pushed around the city, and they actually are being left without any help because these cities aren't prepared for the real crisis that's happening. So Emma Jo Morris, the politics editor at Breitbart News, went out to New York City in order to interview one of these illegal immigrants and to find out what the hell is actually going on and what is the treatment like. So I'd like to welcome to the show Emma Jo Morris. Welcome to Slightly Offensive.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So you got this article that you wrote, and I got to say, if you guys have not read it yet, and other than this interview, make sure you click the link in the description. Make sure you copy it. Make sure you send it to friends, as many people as possible. It's called Morris by You. It's My Day with a Biden Migrant, Broke, Abandoned, and Lost in New York City. It says in the beginning that you went out without a plan. So you just kind of went out to New York. Why did you choose to go out and to try to interview or go out and talk to one of these Biden migrants?
Yeah, so I live in New York, and I got a tip from a colleague in Texas, Bob Price, at Breitbart, and he called me up and he said, you know, the migrant buses that have been going to D.C., they're coming to New York next, and the first one is coming at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And so I figured, okay, I'll go cover it, and I came in not knowing what to expect, so I came in with an open mind. I figured, okay, I'm going to obviously report on the bus coming, and I'll see, you know, how they're greeted or what is handed out, or I didn't know what to expect, so I just figured I would follow the story wherever it goes. So this bus arrives. Port Authority actually had no idea that it was coming. I went to the information kiosk at Port Authority to ask where to meet this thing, and they had no clue what I was talking about. They were like, Greyhound's the only one from Texas. And I'm trying to explain that it's not Greyhound. I had the information of what bus company it was, and they had no clue what I was talking about. So I go outside to the cops. Who they know everything. You know, if you spent enough time in New York, it's like the people who are on the streets, you know, surveying the area, they know, they see everything. So I went to the cops and I said, hey, I'm looking for a bus from Texas. And he looks at me and says, are you a reporter? So he obviously knew which bus I was talking about. And he tells me it's circling around. It has nowhere to park. They're looking for somewhere to stop. You know, I'm confused. And my colleague calls me back and he tells me what gate it is. I run in. He had found out on the Texas side. I run in and find that there is a camera group that was from Fox News that was there and nobody else. So I'm thinking, okay, it's early. There just must not be people here yet from the city. Then all of a sudden, a group of volunteers shows up. They were like these 60, 70 odd aged women wearing masks, of course. And I write in the piece, you know, they were clearly here to save lives or be kind or something. You know, it's a vibe. They don't have to tell you. And they show up with their masks and that's about it. And the bus pulls in. And I figured, okay, I'm just going to lay low. Fox does their thing. You know, they're shoving cameras in people's faces and lights and asking if anybody has a message for Joe Biden. Obviously not, you know, nobody on that bus spoke English. so the Fox thing kind of passes and the volunteers lead the group through Port Authority. They lead them to the front and they start handing out burritos. And I'm just watching this and I'm like, this is already like, okay, whatever.
It's like a Trump like, Taco Bowl moment. You guys like tacos?
Exactly. They gave us the best. They give them the best burritos in history or whatever. But anyway, so I'm just watching this all go remarkable. On, and then all of a sudden, the volunteers just disperse, and that was it. And it was kind of like, okay, good luck. And this bus of 60 migrants who speak not a word of English, who basically just got dropped off from the third world, you know, they are just here now. So I'm thinking, I guess I'll try for an interview, you know. So I see a man, a woman, and a child standing next to me, and I turn to the man and I say, I'm a reporter from Breitbart. You know, do you want to have breakfast? Do you want to talk? And he doesn't speak a word of English. So I get out my phone and I type into Google Translate, you know, is this your family? Can I take you for breakfast? Do you want to talk? And the woman and child kind of just like move off and it was not his family, but he was interested in breakfast. So I say, okay. So we head over to the Upper East Side to Beach Cafe, which is, you know, I'm a regular there. It's been described by New York Magazine as Republican Cheers, which it definitely, I think that's an apt description, but I bring him to Beach Cafe and we get to talking and all of a sudden I find myself, you know, doing this interview, but I'm also realizing that I'm sitting across from a human being who is definitely screwed. You know, like he has nothing on him. He has the clothes on his back. He doesn't speak the native language. He has no job, no papers, no nothing. And the city is providing absolutely nothing for him other than burritos. So
sorry, can we pause there just for a second? It's like to tell people this, right? They say they're a sanctuary city. They say we really want illegal immigrants. The illegal immigrants are given to them, actually paid for by, I think, Texas state taxpayers. So I paid for his bus ticket personally. I think I gave like $26. They greyhound him up. They show up at an odd time, crack of dawn, early in the morning. They're let out. Some people are there for a photo op, so they look like they're helping people. And then they're handed a burrito and told adios and just left out on the streets of New York City. This is what's happening.
Yeah. And there, you know, the irony is in the part that I pick up as a New York taxpayer, because, you know, and I write this in my story, Port Authority is really the epicenter of the homelessness crisis in New York. It is horrific. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
You're the Garment District?
Yes, exactly. Okay, that's right. Exactly. Right in the middle of the Garment District, like on 7th and 41st. And it's hideous. It's absolutely hideous what's going on. There's people sleeping all over the ground, needles all over the ground, whatever. You know, it's public toilets on the ground. And it's desperate and it's sad, actually. It's sad. It's sad to see the most incredible city decay like that. And it's really a representation of that decay. And then you had this bus of illegals come who were, for all intents and purposes, invited as New York declared itself a sanctuary city. And they're just literally dumped on top of these other people who are here, who are also desperate and also in need of social services. And it's like, you know, I called it in the piece barbarism by bureaucracy, because it really is like there's something really like there's carnage, you know, that you're kind of watching in this whole scene, and nobody cares.
Well, and this is what I want to say, because, you know, you obviously call him a Biden migrant, and I want to read this. Not only do they not care, but, you know, you said that he mentioned, I couldn't come during Trump, his hands up and down wall. I smirked. He said, this is, I don't know if this is the same person, but at least one of the,
yes.
This was the same person. I smirked and nodded in disbelief. He smiled back. This wasn't a cable news hit. He presumably wasn't a Breitbart reader. It was all true. He came because of Biden. So he literally told you that he couldn't come during Trump because, and the wall. And that he and this is in English. He was able to communicate that.
Well, yeah, he said
that's incredible. So it's like they admit it. Hey, this is the problem is happening because of Biden. Like this is an actual issue. So that's where you call him a Biden migrant. Did you coin that term?
Maybe now I have. The piece has gotten some notoriety, actually, and I'm happy it has, because the truth is, you know, I came in with an open mind, and I think he came in with an open mind too. You know, I don't think knew about Breitbart. I don't think he was a Breitbart reader, you know, and we were both just kind of having this experience of meeting each other, and he was in this really weird and vulnerable position. And I was just kind of confused and also just coming there kind of not knowing what to expect and not knowing what I would be writing. And he, it's this moment of sheer honesty, I think, from him, where he says, you know, this was my opportunity and I took it. And that's why I call him a Biden migrant. And I'm not even trying to dunk. It's like he said it just like that. And he's a Biden migrant. He's a sanctuary city migrant. These people understand, like, you know, and I don't blame them. Listen, I voted for the wall. I'm a Trump supporter. I don't blame them, though, because if I was from Venezuela, which is where he's from, which is, you know, has abject poverty, has no economy, essentially, is living under a dictatorship, you know, and somebody was saying, hey, here, you know, just walk up to America and you'll get in and you can go to New York City. It's like, obviously.
Yeah. And it seems like, well, and it seems too good to be true, because everybody knows I'm from Hollywood, and my favorite thing is watching the disappointment on tourists' faces as they see what Hollywood really is, and like walking around and realize, like, basically Hollywood isn't glitz, glamour, and movies. It's homelessness. Yeah. Feces and dead bodies. So you're going, wow, this is pretty insane. You know, I mean, there's literally, like, I mean, if you like things that are thick, talk about the layer of dirt that's on the streets, on the walls. It's disgusting. And I think that it's so sad, because it's, you know, in a city that cares so much, everyone that in Hollywood Hills are activists. They love the environment. They love the environment, just not the people in their city. And you wrote this in your article, and I really, really struck with me as someone from a big city, seeing the lie that people buy and then they get abandoned. You said it's all so fake, all the virtue signaling, the fake compassion, fake welcome, the burritos. I'm sorry. Sorry. It's all the burritos were real though, right? That weren't fake. That'd be sad.
They were real. Okay, but it's a testament. It was so dismissive.
It's like, yeah, but you said it's all just nonsense. You go, it's all just nonsense. Now we have this guy, and then Alfonso shows up with his wife and kid left in Chile, not knowing anyone here, expecting that there will be open arms and helping a hand waiting for him. But it's all false promise by liars who have invited him and abandoned him. And you say that these cities, as someone who lives there, are abandoning these people that they claim that they're supporting. And now they know what we're going through in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. And it's unfortunate that it has to be this way. But, and Eric Adams and in D.C. as well, they're buckling under the pressure. And this is just a couple, in New York, we have a couple hundred. And the New York City government is losing their minds. And it's like, imagine Texas has 5,000 a day.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely we can't handle it. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But obviously you had some compassion. That's what I like about you, is that even though people don't get it, you're a Trumpian, you wanted the wall, you're like, hey, in the end, still, there's a human being here. I don't agree with the way he got here. I don't like that he's here. I understand why he's here, though. So I want to help him. So you buy him food, you're with him. And you talk about, needing to send him off when you're sending him off and you don't know what to do. And he asked you for your number, correct?
Yeah, so exactly. So I'm sitting across from this guy. I'm realizing how screwed he is, basically. And I feel bad for him. I start to feel like there's there's this human element that's kind of at play as well. And he's just a guy, he's just a guy and he's here illegally. And I don't agree with the decision that he made, but I understand it. And I really am starting to resent the policies really that brought him here. As he just said, now is my opportunity because the border is open, right? So I say, okay, at one point I tried, we passed, as we were walking down the street, we passed guys in construction gear who were speaking Spanish. And I stopped and I said, this is very much like New York, and living in New York, you learn to spot opportunities. So I stopped and I asked these guys, hey, this guy Alfonso, and he just came from Venezuela, and can he work with you? And they were kind of hostile toward that. And they didn't really like that. But I coaxed them into giving them, into giving me their number. So that he could maybe have an opportunity there. Then, after breakfast, I ask, okay, where are you going? Like, how much money do you have on you? Can we get you a hostel? Can we find you a room? Can we get you a shower and somewhere to lie down? I called a couple of hostels and they were not interested in having this guy there at all. One told me under no uncertain terms, do not bring him here. I am not accepting him. Another one hung up on me when I called. So that was that. I bring him to a shelter. Not a shelter, but like a community center that was near the restaurant in the Upper East Side. They said, no, do not. We have nothing to do with him. We're women and children only. I'm feeling just despondent at this point. And I say to, I type to him in Google Translate. I say, where can I bring you? And he says, bring me back to Port Authority. I met some people on the bus and I'll link up with them and I'll figure it out with them. So I say, okay. And I get a taxi back to Port Authority. He asked for my number when we were in the taxi, and I'm thinking I don't really want to give it to him, obviously. But I figured I'm kind of the only person in this country probably who cares if he lives or dies. So I'll give it to him, and worst case scenario, I can block the number. So I give him my number and we part ways, and I drop him off and I say good luck and I leave and I get home and start writing my story. And all of a sudden I see a text from him on WhatsApp. So I open it and it's like an emoji with like a fist raised. So I just write back like, estás bien,
Yeah, you very okay? innocent, just some nice wholesome connection.
Yeah, I thought he was just reaching out, to keep the connection open. So I said, are you okay? And he sends back a dick pic. And that's it. So that was my day with Alfonso.
Hey, that long bus ride makes a man horny, apparently. And the best part about this is you're a lesbian. You don't want any dick pics. So illegal or legal. American made or foreign American export.
Yeah, it's just he's not my type.
Oh, and that's it. they say no good deed goes unpunished. So, you know, mm-hmm. that's what always ends up happening. You help people, you try to do things, and then, you know, you end up just getting a dick pic in the end. And it's true, but you were being nice and you were trying. It shows you how difficult it is. And guys, if you want to read this whole story, it is so amazing. Remember, the link's in the description. You should go read it immediately. Support Emma Jo Morris and support her work. If people want to find you and follow you, both your writing and to keep up with you on social media, where can they follow you?
Yeah, I'm at Emma Jo NYC. Please no dick pics. I'm not soliciting them. And I got nothing to do with them.
Yeah, she's happily in a relationship. Anyway, we love you so much. And you know what? This was such a great interview. If you ever write anything good or anything in the future or want to comment on politics, just make sure to write that down, that she's a good resource, because you are absolutely lovely and we appreciate you. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Happy Lesbian Friday, everybody. Apparently, that's just what this was. I didn't plan on it. But you know what? We have to have our diversity. We do. I actually got a new member of our diversity coalition here. This is a Blackstronaut. So we collect Barbies here because we're weird. And we like the diverse Barbies, because you can't have normal white woman Barbies, right? And this Barbie's motto is Blackstronaut. Because black people can do anything, like go to space. Literally do anything except for solve the problems in their own communities. And that's pretty much... That's pretty bad, huh?
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, but this is Blackstronaut, and that's just her name. We're not even letting you name this one. And we're really happy to add her, because, guys, this show's going to the moon. And that's what it is. And I want to let you guys know that I've heard your guys' issues. Before I say this, we have a problem. You know, we have a Saturday live stream, like a live stream. It keeps getting pulled because it gets too wild. And I know you guys have said that you want it to stay up somewhere. And because it's not like, it's just something I'm doing out of my own pocket and my own money. It's not like a Blaze TV thing. I'm just doing it at my house with all my own resources and crew. I have decided I'm going to start streaming it on Rumble as well. So I'll have the link, put the link in the description. This is where you can find it. You can click the link. This is where you can find the stream on Rumble. I don't think I'm going to stream to the slightly offensive account, because I think that this live streams are too edgy to go on that account. Even. I think it's got to be on its own account, because I just do not trust, like, the things that the guests say are so crazy. I'm just going to go for it. I'm a free speech advocate. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
I know. Anyway, Kaylee Campbell, our guest today. If people want to find you, if they want to follow you, where can they follow you on social media?
They can follow me on Instagram at TheKayleeCampbell. They can subscribe to the Twitch account. I think it's all TheKayleeCampbell. Maintained same username, thankfully.
That's really nice. That's good. Except yeah. Not on Twitter. Don't forget, this is a audio only podcast. If you want to listen, make sure you download it. Just download this podcast. I think I'm going to start putting the live streams on audio though too, just for if you ever want to listen to them after the fact. We'll see what happens. They're a ton of fun. Make sure you download on Spotify, iTunes, wherever, and leave a 5-star review. We got a couple reviews to read today. If you want to bring them up on the screen. From Not Offended, from Apco, said, I feel ripped off because I'm not slightly offended at all, but actually I find myself laughing, which is the opposite of offended. I'd ask for my money back, but I listen for free. Thanks for reminding me. Tim Michaels, from Jeffrey Epstein, said, so here in Wisconsin, we down with Tim Michelle's interview him. Also, I love you, Alexis Steinstein. That is not the way you spell that. But I appreciate it. A for effort. And you can sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah. I would really appreciate it if you did. It's a really amazing time and you can support us. And do not forget Blaze Socks, everybody. You got 4 days remaining for the most important campaign ever. BlazeSocks.com, BlazeSocks.com. Promo code Blaze Sub, you get 20% off. If you use your account email, you got to get the socks. I've got a couple pairs. You got to get DeSantis, Klaus Schwab. Check them out. This is something that Blaze, it's a limited time offer. Just don't forget to get them. Anyway, have a great rest of the week. Thank you to my guests, Kaylee Campbell, to Emma Jo Morris, and also, oh, there they are. There's a sock.
Yeah.
There it is. Look at it.
Heck yeah.
There it is. And Jamie Michelle.
Put a sock in it, Joe.
That's pretty nice, huh? Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.